Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. And we're very pleased to turn to Charles Burton of Synopsis to help us understand Canadian stories in the news. We begin with one that requires great interpretation of these last years. CBC reporting, China opposes Canada, including Chinese companies, in new Russia sanctions. Subhead, this is quoting Reuters. Foreign Ministry spokesperson called the inclusion, quote, completely unjustified and entirely wrong. Charles, a very good day to you. The Foreign Ministry of China is declaring Canada wrong. That would be Mr. Trudeau, who, though he is lame, is very much the prime minister. Why, I recall China and Canada, the first thing that comes to mind is there were allegations some time ago, I believe in 24, maybe earlier, that China interfered in two elections, Canadian elections, 2019 and 2021. I don't remember the results of those allegations or the investigation, but it strikes me that China right now is acting like a bully. Was there ever any resolution about China interfering in the politics of Canada? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, you know, when these revelations came about, which was after classified documents from Canadian security agencies that had been relayed to the Prime Minister's office calling for the government to take some action against Chinese state-sponsored interference in Canada's electoral institutions, the elections and menace of family members of the Canadian Parliament who are of Chinese origin, the Prime Minister set up a special rapporteur, David Johnston, a former Governor General, who issued a report saying there was nothing much to see here, but then had to resign in disgrace, well, relative disgrace, after the Canadian public were alerted to the fact that Mr. Johnston and Mr. Trudeau had a very close personal relationship of many, many years, and that the report really wasn't was a bit of a whitewash. So then there was a judicial commission, what used to be called a royal commission, set up under Justice Marie-Josée Hogg, which went on for over a year, the results of which came out at the end of January. It was a massive enterprise with dozens of lawyers and hundreds of witnesses and all sorts of submissions. And again, Justice Hogg came up with a suggestion that there wasn't all that much to be concerned about. In fact, it's timely that you mention this, as tomorrow I'll be participating in a press conference in the Canadian Parliament where we will be suggesting that the Commission did not properly advise the government on the grave threat to Canadian democracy of extensive Chinese influence operations in Canada. So that's really where it's been left. We've had two goes. The government introduced legislation designed to appoint a foreign influence commissioner and set up a foreign influence registry. In other words, persons who are recipients of benefit from a foreign power should declare that publicly. That legislation went through in last June. I spoke in favor of it in the Senate. And the government has refused to take any action on it. No foreign influence commissioner exists, no registry exists. And so we'll see what happens with the next Canadian government as to whether they will be courageous enough to challenge Chinese influence operations in Canada or let them continue to spread unabated.
Gordon, I have a question for Charles.
Charles, it's clear that China has interfered in Canadian elections. It's clear that Justin Trudeau really doesn't want to do anything about it. Can we then draw the inference that China owns the Trudeau administration?
I think that, you know, because of the very clear and unambiguous nature of the top secret assessments that were sent to the Prime Minister's office and various ministries by the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, the Canadian the Communication Security Establishment, and the Intelligence Assessment Secretariat of the Privy Council Office, that there is no question that there is a very serious problem of Chinese co-optation of Canadian politicians. And the fact that the government would not act on these assessments, in some cases in the course of commission questioning, suggested that somehow they hadn't reached the minister that they were intended to and that kind of thing, that one cannot help but think that there is, in fact, a problem of Chinese influence at the very highest levels of the Canadian government, which would be the Prime Minister's office. The issue is the degree to which this might extend to other parties like the Conservative Party that may, not for certain now, assume power in the next election coming up this spring. Have the Chinese successfully co-opted all the elements of the Canadian political elite, or will the Conservative government have the courage to challenge the Chinese regime, expel diplomats who are engaged in activities of influence, bribery, espionage, and so on, and clear the Chinese improper influence out of Canadian political life? That remains to be seen.
After 9 years of Trudeau's premiership, is there a way to characterize the relationship between Ottawa and Beijing?
I think, you know, appeasement would be a modest characterization. It just looks very, very bad in terms of the government's reluctance to act, including on this Bill C-70, which appointed the Foreign Influence Commissioner, or is a law of Canada demanding a Foreign Influence Commissioner and demanding a Foreign Influence Registry that has been sitting there now for close to a year unresponded to. It's very, very concerning, I think. And I think that the lack of action by the government is empowering the Chinese regime to do more. And we may see even more influence in the next election. And we're already seeing indications of Chinese interference in nomination processes.
Does the public have a voice here? Is there a general understanding? Because we've gone through a transformation in America over these last years from one of regarding China as a trading rival to now, I believe it is fair-minded to say, the Congress regards China as a hostile. Is that transformation also true for Canada?
Well, I think certainly, you know, among a certain class of Canadians concerned about foreign affairs, were grievously concerned about Chinese activities in the northern part of Canada, Chinese attempts to acquire mining facilities and to acquire, to put in facilities and purchase land that are close to militarily sensitive areas of Canada. So, you know, this is certainly something that's going on. But last night, the Liberal Party had a leadership debate. There are four candidates for the leadership who would immediately become the Prime Minister of Canada. And the word China was never spoken in. Well, perhaps there was one reference, I think, by one of the candidates to concerns about Chinese, Russian, and indeed United States activities in the Arctic. But it's not an issue that seems to have grabbed the public imagination and doesn't seem to have potential for influencing the political choices in the next election.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, there is some thought that there's going to be a new prime minister, of course, might be Carney. Has Carney indicated his thoughts about China? Should he become the next prime minister, as many people suspect?
He was the candidate that did make one very fleeting reference to China with regard to the Arctic, but he is also suggesting that that Canada will not reach a 2% GDP defense expenditure until, I think it was the year 2030, if not 2032. So he doesn't seem to have a focus on defending Canada, particularly in the context of the United States feeling that allies should be responsible for their own defense and the United States should not be playing a disproportionately large role in the defense of other nations. And so, you know, I think for most of us, this is a call to increase military expenditures up to, you know, 3% in short order and possibly more. And Mr. Carney, at least in his statements, is not proposing anything along those lines. He did suggest that there should be two military bases in the Arctic, one in Iqaluit and one in Tuktoyaktuk. Himself, he was born in the north, brought up in Alberta. But you're not going to get those bases unless you significantly increase the funding that the government allocates to military sector, the defense sector. So I am very concerned about this. And, of course, Mr. Carney is very much associated with the Davos group. His policies seem to be identical, more or less, to those of Mr. Trudeau in every aspect, and a very strong emphasis on climate change and accommodating the demands of those who feel that production should be environmentally friendly and that we shouldn't be using hydrocarbons for energy. So he has a very long record on this matter as well.
Charles Burton of Synopsis. Charles mentions an election. It's either imminent or this year. So when we come back, what to look for, how it goes forward. It's a very different calendar than the elections in the United States. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.